Good morning. Hey, I'm so glad you're here this morning, and thanks for coming back the week after Easter. And it's amazing, like Easter season's already over. Thank goodness tax season will be over soon. But it's sort of amazing how quick this year has passed. It seems like it was just Christmas season and then the football season, and now Easter season's gone, and which I love Easter season almost the best, because I get to talk about Jesus on that Sunday, and people were just handing me candy as I walked up here, which I was like, it's like doing shots before you preach. I was talking even faster last week. It was crazy. But unfortunately, we are still in flu season. Anybody get the flu this year? There was actually two flus, if you're collecting them all at home like we did. There was the fever, coughing, congestion, I feel like I'm going to die flu. Then there was the diarrhea, vomiting, I wish I could die flu. And, you know, if you're lucky, you got both of them simultaneously, which is awesome. Now, what I've been thinking about, like, the flu season is this. When people are sick with the flu, I mean, there are things you could do. I guess you could chicken soup and fluids and maybe Tamiflu if you get it in time. Some people say that helps. Some people it doesn't help at all. And it was interesting. Like, we think, like, everybody we know had the flu. But I went to Missouri back in February, and, you know, family coming in from all over, like Arizona and different states. And they had the same flu at the same time. So it was just crazy, like, how widespread it was this year. But here's the one thing I know about the flu. I don't have any great flu remedies for you this morning. But what people don't need when they have the flu is sort of good advice, right? Like, I was thinking about this clip from Parks and Rec. It just kind of jumped out. We loved Parks and Rec. And Chris Traeger, Rob Lowe, plays that character. And when he's looking in the mirror, I just love this. It's just... Like, that is very, very good advice, isn't it? Like, I don't know if you've ever said that to yourself, but it's good advice, but it is not very helpful. And so that's what I want to sort of keep in my mind, at least, as a guy getting up here this morning talking about anxiety. And yes, in America 2018, it's always anxiety season. It's not like there's any time of the year we go, hey, everything's pretty cool. Nobody has it. It's just not true. So... what I want to make sure, I'll just tell you, and this is a bad way to start a sermon going, here's what I don't want to do, but here's my hope anyway. Because I feel like so many of us struggle with anxiety or love someone who does, and my hope is not to give you good advice, not to just say, stop worrying. You know, that's not how, it's like, stop pooping. It doesn't help you. It would be wonderful, but it doesn't help. And so what I want to lay out this month, and what I've been thinking about since last year is sort of this idea of what are some time-tested strategies from Scripture that we can rely on? Things that people have done for thousands of years that are basically the ground, you know, the bulwark of our faith. Why did I say bulwark? That's like a hymn word. I don't know, something popped out like that. But sort of the foundation of our faith. And so that's my hope. Now, here's the thing I also know about bad sermons and bad graduation speeches and bad speeches of any kind. Like, have you noticed, at least I do as someone who stands up here and talks to you every week, whenever I hear someone go, the dictionary defines, if they start with the definition of something, I go, this is going to be a bad time. Like, the way I think of it is this, like, and someone's going, I just did that in a presentation at work. Well, it's bad. Stop it. Because here's why. Like, my thought is, if the most interesting thing you can hit me with, you know, sitting here in the sun at your graduation is what Merriam-Webster says about this, like, I can do better. I can Google that, right? Like, so I know that's a bad way to start, but we're going to start with a definition, okay? But not Merriam-Webster. Like, dictionary won't help us. And the one thing I realize about anxiety, too, when I just say that word, we all know the word, but what does it actually mean? You know, some people think when I say anxiety, think of the medical definition, or maybe some, you know, worry or fear, which are sort of cousins but not exactly the same thing. And so I would just like to create sort of some action church language for what we're going to talk about. Let's make up our own definition, which is what I've done. I believe that the thing we're going to talk about, that I'm going to call anxiety at least, is very simply when your what ifs ruin your what is. Now, what I mean by that is we all have what ifs, right? Like every one of us, even the person who would say, I don't have anxiety at all, or I'm very low anxiety, or I'm very laid back, and nothing bothers me, we all have what ifs. Now, and we all have what is. And the interesting thing about that, at least to me, is I have spent much of my life having really good what is, this is going to be hard to say. I see why I shouldn't have done this already, but my what is were ruined by what ifs. Like, for example, like all of us have sort of these common grace good things that happen in our life, like love of family or good food or sleep. But yet probably not a single person could say, like, at some point in their life, they weren't bumped or distracted or unable to enjoy something that's very good happening right now, like not able to enjoy time with the family or even a good night's sleep. Isn't it sort of cruel that when you need the good night's sleep, when something difficult is coming the next day, that's when you can't sleep because the what ifs rob you of what is, which sleep would be great. I was on a paint job the other day. It was the one I did out of town a few weeks ago, and I was laying there the final night, like I got to bed about midnight, and I was like thinking through, which is a bad way to go to sleep, but this I was thinking through what I had to do the next day, and it struck me as I'm laying there, like, I'm not going to finish on time. And so I realized at that moment, like, I will lay here and think about this all night. So I actually got up, put my boots on, and drove to the place at like 1 a.m. and started painting till I got caught back up. But, and I don't suggest that necessarily, but it is interesting, like even though you need sleep, even though sleep would be good, nothing feels better than just sort of escaping through sleep when times are hard. And many of us are robbed of that, like our what ifs take away the what is. Time with family, like, I've been on vacations, and I'm sure you have too if you've ever had financial problems. We used to go, you know, go on a vacation that you actually paid for, but I would be concerned about coming months at the business, like, are we going to have enough to cover after I get, and you ruin great experiences that you could enjoy. Just thinking about what ifs, and we're going to talk about this later, but the cruelest thing about what ifs is they don't even always come true. Like the stuff, your what ifs may or may not happen, and they ruin the what is that actually is happening. And so that's sort of our definition. If you've lost sleep or been unable to enjoy, just even, and it's so funny because we think like, oh, well, you know, If only this what if wasn't out there, then I would enjoy. But there's always a new what if when we're in that cycle. And so that's our basic definition that we're going to come back to. And I'm willing to modify it if there's a better way to say it. But I just want us to be all on the same page when we talk about this thing from Scripture and talk about this idea of anxiety. Now, right up front, I also want to say this, because this is a great question. People would say, like, well, what about anxiety medication? Like, are you going to tell us to not take medication? No. Here's what I would say about anxiety medication. I would sort of treat that in the same way if we were talking about diabetes. I wouldn't be telling you, and get rid of your insulin. You know, like, I would never say that, because millions and millions of people have been saved by insulin. In fact, one of the worst scenarios we can think of is a power outage in America, an extended power outage, would be because insulin would be hard to get. And so millions of people have been saved by insulin, and some people will be on insulin forever. Nothing would be better, and I'm certain that people on insulin would say, yeah, I'm with you. I have so many diabetics in my family would say, I wish I didn't have to take the pen every day. I wish I didn't have to do this. And if there was a way around it, I'd love to do that. And so I would say the same thing about anxiety medication. If you're on anxiety medication this morning, this is not about this. My point is, so grateful that it exists to deal with the chemicals that come from anxiety, but we're actually talking about something different. We're actually talking about the root cause of the anxiety that the medication deals with. And so don't hear this as, hey, if you'd only stop pooping, that would be great, you know, or hey, stop worrying and then you wouldn't need your medication. No, we want to talk about this idea of the strategy that Scripture gets us. And so I want to just get started with this idea that we're going to talk about for the foreseeable future, because I think it is so powerful, and it's just simply this. It's, imagine this. Don't worry about anything. Now, in other translations, the translation, the way I remember it growing up in church as an older guy, it was be anxious for nothing, which is where we got the title of this sermon. But this idea of don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. Don't ever let your what ifs ruin your what is. And then The antidote would be instead pray about everything. So very simple concept we're going to work through is, you know, never worry about anything, never be anxious, but pray about everything. Now, I realize this morning you might be sitting there, and that's fine. It's fine if you sit there and you go, that is a fantasy, Don. Like, that is, I wish I were a little bit taller, wish I were a baller, wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. That's what you're thinking. Skilo's in there. You know that. Like, it's funny that that's just a fantasy to some of you. I used to say I wish they all could be California girls, but I realized that song was sort of running out of gas. Like, there was two people still alive who knew that reference, so I've changed. But anyway, like, it seems like a fantasy, and that's okay if you feel that this morning. If you go, worry about nothing, you know, be anxious for nothing, and pray about everything, oh yeah, and then unicorns, you know, I get that. So maybe it's a fantasy, maybe it's the opposite. I have spent big chunks of my life, if I'm honest, occasionally I am, big chunks of my life doing the opposite. Worry about everything, pray about nothing, right? And I don't mean that I didn't pray. There were times, I hate to say it, but years went by when I didn't really pray about what worried me. Like, I'd pray prayers, you know, pray for a little dinner. I don't even do that very good. Like, pray at church, pray for your family, pray with your kids, but never really get to the truth with God. Like, I am worried about this. This is what occupies my thought. It's so weird to me, like, thinking back, like, I spent large portion of my life not praying about the what ifs. I pray about disasters, you know, but the thing that was really troubling, the what ifs. So to me, you might really feel like this is just the opposite of the way I live. I get that, and that's fine. Might be a life goal. Like, you might read this today and kind of learn this, and I hope you do. I hope we all know this, you know. Pretty simple, just a sentence and a half, basically. It might just be a life goal. Like, I hope I get to that. Like, it would be great. You know, and that's okay. Like, it would be great if I didn't worry. It would be great if I wasn't anxious all the time. It would be great if I could get past this anxiety and begin to pray, and that would actually help. And maybe you even feel like it's good advice. Like, you're like, well, I want to do that, but it feels sort of like this. Thanks for leaving there. Stop was the first word. I know it's hard to get two words in there. Sometimes it skips. But it's sort of like, once again, you might feel like I'm honestly sort of just telling, like, yeah, you have the flu, and I just go, stop pooping. That's not very helpful. I get that. Now, maybe, and I think this is true for probably somebody here today. This might be your reality. I hope it is. I hope we meet people that go, you know, honestly, I pray about everything. And I don't really feel anxious because I've learned to just give it to my Savior. Like, and that would be great. And I hope you're here today. I might have you teach next week. That would be awesome, because I'm not there yet. But here's the thing. All of those things are fine. If it's a fantasy, you think it's sort of like, oh, that's just good advice, but it'll never happen. It's a bumper sticker. Or maybe you think, oh, it's a life goal. I'm fine with all of those. Now, I hope, my dream really is, like, I was thinking, like, wouldn't it be cool if some of us, and I think it's possible, could move from one of those into reality. And I think we could do that. Like, some of us go, I thought it was fantasy, but this actually works, because I believe it does work. Or it was just seemed like a goal, you know. But now, so all of those are fine. Here's what I want to make sure that none of us feel. Condemnation. This should not be, and I'm going to spend some time just sort of digging into this, because I do not want a single person to leave here going, oh, now I feel worse about my anxiety. Because I feel like before I was struggling with it, and now the Bible's like, oh, stop that. Just stop. And so no one should walk out of here today feeling condemned by this verse. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And here's why. Here's why you should not feel condemned. And I know, like, number one rule is don't tell people how they should feel. I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell you you should not feel like that. But here's why. The Bible is filled with heroes you've heard of that suffered from anxiety, depression, up to suicidal thoughts. Let me give you an example. Moses says these words, "Where am I supposed to get meat for all these people?" This is after he left Egypt, and he's got 400,000 hungry Israelites, and all of a sudden they're like, "Hey, it was great, you know, leaving Israel, but you forgot to pack a lunch. We're starving out here." And it says, "When am I supposed to get meat for all these people?" They keep whining to me, saying, and you've said this on a trip with your kids, but imagine 400,000 of them, "Give us meat to eat." And I can't, literally, I love this because it does sound, I have said this on vacation, "I can't carry all these people by myself. The load is far too heavy. If this is how you intend to treat me," this is talking to God, this is in a prayer, "just go ahead and kill me, do me a favor and spare me this misery." That's Moses, the hero Moses, after parting the Red Sea and rescuing his people. So I don't think that any of us can say this morning like the Bible doesn't allow for the fact that we might feel angry. You talk about what ifs ruining what is. Like, he's literally worried. And the funny thing is, they weren't hungry at that point. Like, they had food every day. They just didn't have meat. They literally had bread coming from heaven every day, but they don't have meat yet. And they're kind of like, "We're bored with this Honeycrisp you're serving us," which sounds delicious to me. I could live on that. But I would probably want meat too. I'm not going to lie. I'd be whining too. But it's just amazing going, "Oh, you want the definition of anxiety?" Like, he's worried that the people are going to revolt because he doesn't have everything for them. But what is amazing. He saw, like, their slave owners, their slave holders killed in the Red Sea. He saw God rescue them in a miraculous way. He saw them walk out of Egypt coming from slavery to being wealthy because they took the gold with them. I mean, it's incredible. But yet, he couldn't enjoy the what is because the what ifs were killing him. And so what about Jonah? I was thinking about Jonah. Now, Jonah, we don't realize how anxious and how sort of depressed and suicidal he was because we've read the book of Jonah. You know, we can kind of read it like, "Oh yeah, he dove into the ocean so he could get in the fish. That's adorable." But what he said to people was, "Throw me into the sea and it will be calm again. I know this terrible storm is all my fault." Like, he hadn't read the book of Jonah, so he's literally going, and he wasn't saying, "Throw me in there so I can get onto the fish and go back to Nineveh." He's like, I'm done. Like, just throw me in. I'm dead. Kill me now is basically what Jonah would say. And Jonah's a classic example of anxiety because what was he worried about? Something that didn't even happen. He was like, "When I go to Nineveh, they're not going to listen to me. They're going to kill me. They're going to be so angry. They're going to..." Not what happened at all. What we know from Scripture is the fact he went to Nineveh and everybody listened to him. Everybody repented. And then he was angry because they did that, because that's the way we are as humans. But it's amazing. Like, his what ifs totally overcame. Here's another guy you might have heard of. Notice I'm not saying Melchizedek or somebody you're like, "Who is that? I think he made up that guy." No. Heroes of the faith, just sort of crammed full of anxiety and depression and suicidal thinking and like all of this what is, ruining what is. Check this one out. It says, "When Ahab got home," Ahab's the king, "he told Jezebel, his wife, everything that Elijah had done, including the way he had killed the prophets of Baal." This is a story happening after Elijah brings down fire from heaven and then chops like dozens of prophets to death himself, which they're probably never going to make a movie of that. It's like a slasher film. It's crazy. But like, he's seen God do these amazing things. Then he runs for miles and miles. I mean, it's just crazy. But listen, after he sees this amazing miracle of fire coming down from heaven, the king is angry, obviously, tells his wife, said, "May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them." So he gets a death threat. And then it says Elijah was afraid and he fled for his life. And he went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servants there. Notice he isolated himself, which is what a lot of us do when we are going through anxiety. And then he went alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. And he sat down under a solitary broom tree, and like I can imagine him playing the banjo for some reason, but he prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who already died." Isn't it amazing? Like, I'm just three heroes of Scripture right there. All of them who are like, "Kill me now, God. I can't go on. This is the what ifs are far too scary." Like, what? And it's strange, all of them, or especially Moses and Elijah, had just been through some of the most amazing like acts of God that we know of, but yet faced such anxiety that they were willing to end it all in these. It's crazy. Like, so all of the heroes of the faith found in Scripture, including Iron Man. If you've watched, I'm just seeing if you're paying attention, but remember, this is really not a hero. Tony Stark has anxiety attacks, which doesn't speak to Scripture, but I was thinking like this week, it's like when one of the Avengers has anxiety attacks in our culture, I got a feeling like we're not the only one if we're going through that. I still love that conversation he has, like, "Don't mention New York, you're freaking me out." There you did it, you know, and that. But here's the capper, and it's not Iron Man. That would be a weird way to end this list of, but what about Jesus? Now, I know. Jesus, Son of God, he's fully God, fully man. Spent all last week and most of my life making Jesus the hero. And Jesus is the hero, but Jesus dealt with anxiety. I mean, read with me from the screen, like I'm not just making this up. Read what Jesus went through in the garden, which is a park, in the park, before he was arrested. Now, he knew this arrest was coming, so this is not like he didn't know. He was just, but this is definitely what ifs. This is knowing what was coming. It says, "And he walked away about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, 'Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine.' And then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. And he prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood." Now, this translation says "like great drops of blood." A lot of translations say "as great drops of blood." And we know that there is a medical condition where you can actually break, I think they're capillaries, in your skin when you're under extreme stress or pain and actually sweat blood. It's a thing. So I don't know how we can kind of walk out of here today and go, "I'm a loser," or "I'm not full of, you know, I'm not a Christian if I've suffered from anxiety," or God couldn't possibly have ever wanted me, you know, allowed me to have anxiety, so I must be doing something wrong. I'm condemned by this verse. When you look at just the, and we could go further. When all the heroes of faith, including Jesus, struggled as a human with anxiety. Now, I think that gives us a lot of hope. I really do. I think as I read through this, and there were many more I could have put in there, I think that gives us a lot of hope. Like that this is a thing, that this is a part of being human, and obviously the effects and the negative effects and the health problems and the things it robs us of, those are bad things. But this idea of being anxious is not a sin, not a weakness. It's a thing that so many of us have gone through. And so I just want to read the scripture. And this is going to be kind of lay out the template for our talks and our thinking over the next few weeks. We're not going to stay in this scripture as much as using it to help guide us. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you have learned and received from me, and everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you." Now, I want you to notice, and I think it's so important, as we start moving into the prayer part of this, that it says, tell God what you need. Now, we're not going to deal so much with the prayer portion of this. I'm going to tell you a secret. We're going to talk about prayer next month, because I think that, like, in order for this to work, we need to become probably black belts in prayer. But I don't think we're going to be able to handle both things at once. So we're going to more deal with, this is the don't be anxious about anything. And the antidote, we believe, is but pray about everything. And so obviously we would need to be better at that. I know I need to be better at that. And I'm sure many of you would say the same thing. But we're going to kind of break that off and talk about prayer at a later time next month. But telling God what you need and thank Him for what He does is something that you just can't over sort of tell about, the gratitude portion. And we're gonna talk about that a lot in the future, because it's so powerful. It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And I like this part that says His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And the reason why I think that's important to all of us, this idea of that this peace would guard us, is because if you think about it, this anxiety thing, and if you love someone who struggles with anxiety or you struggle with anxiety, it's a thief. That's why I hate it, and that's why I want to learn. It's like, it's a thief. It robs us of stuff. Like it robs us of experiences, and it robs us of relationships, and it robs us of enjoyment in life and the good things in life. And here's the dirty little secret. Some of the stuff we're worried about doesn't even come true. It's a liar. So it's like a thief and a liar. Sounds like someone we know, right? So excuse me. Like, I want for you and for me and for my family and for your family is something that would guard against that. And there's no app for that. Like, it'd be great if we can get an app, you know, like a LifeLock. It'll take care of it. Now, that's what the peace of God does. And so now here's another thing that just sort of like in this framework that says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. See, it tells us what to think about, and I think that's super important, because if you don't have something like that, like, try not to think of something. It's impossible, other than when you're watching Netflix, like, or Fox or CNN. But MSNBC, I'll throw that in there so everybody's unhappy. Other than that, like, try not to think about something. I mean, you can't. And so we have these reoccurring thoughts, these reoccurring what ifs, these reoccurring, oh, this what ifs are ruining my what is. Well, what it tells us and what Scripture tells us and what we'll learn this month is there are other things we should be thinking about instead of. Not just, oh, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. That's like, stop pooping. It's not going to work. What we need, I'm going to say stop pooping a lot. I have a feeling that's going to become the poop water of this. I'm just saying. But like, I was thinking, like, we need sort of direction on what to think. And notice it says what is true. Now, that alone, like, if we could do that, I know that's good advice in a sense that it's hard to do and it's hard to even know. But a lot of our what ifs aren't true. And so we waste all of this time. I find myself worrying about, you know, financial things or future things, and so many of them, if I'm just honest with myself, like, especially in business just and in the church, like, I'm worried about things that take enjoyment away, and then they don't even happen. And I'll tell you another secret, this will not help your anxiety, but the stuff I didn't think of, that is the thing that happened. That's the problem with this. It would be great if you go, if I worry about it enough, if I'm anxious enough, then I'll hold it off. The opposite is true. You ruin your day, you ruin your night's sleep, you ruin your vacation, you ruin your relationship, you ruin your job. It doesn't happen, and truth is, something else happens. It's just, we need something, and I know that from experience and from talking to friends and family, that we need something to put our thoughts, says fix your thoughts on, like something to sort of put in us.